This is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today we have Dean Gotzer, who's going to be with us, and he's going to be talking about Diaprax. He's going to be talking about consensus. He's really going to be talking about how they control your reality, how they control the local government by consensus meetings and visioning meetings and getting the people together just to have a talk about what direction we should be going. And the average person who attends these meetings doesn't understand. He is being manipulated from the get-go because there is a master agenda. The master agenda is the destruction of crystalline civilization, doing away with local representative government, centralizing power in the hands of a bureaucracy, and then, of course, destroying the very foundation upon which this country is based. We have people at the highest levels of our government who are frankly subversive because they have sworn to uphold our Constitution, and their goal is the destruction of our Constitution and our national sovereignty. That is what treason is all about, but none dare call it treason because these are the people in control, and they're the ones who are labeled a label, as they did in the 1999, I believe it was, Phoenix FBI, anti-terrorism network publication, which you'll find up on my webpage. They were able to say, you know how to identify a terrorist? Why, they're the people who talk about the Constitution, who thinks these are the end times, who are part of the Christian identity movement, and not one word about Islamic terrorism and the 1999 Phoenix anti-terrorism task force. It was the Christians and the constitutionalists. They were the real enemy. And if you don't think that that's what's going on behind the scenes today, you have no idea what's going on. Well, there's nobody who can better describe how they manipulate us than Dean Gotzer, and you'll enjoy his presentation. But he will be speaking in Pennsylvania, what is this coming, Friday or Saturday?
It'll be Friday, yeah.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you just let our listeners know where that's going to be, and then we'll get it out several more times. Where in Pennsylvania? How could they get there, and what's it all about?
Okay, I'll be speaking at the Perkins Restaurant in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The town actually is Lemoine. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that close. It'll be on 7 Airford Road. It's if you get on my website, authorityresearch.com, and go to schedules and go down to the meeting in Harrisburg, I have a link to their website, and they have a where you can link to a map, so if you need directions.
All right, and when is the meeting?
That'll be Friday, the 8th.
And what time?
At 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock in the evening?
You're right.
And what's the charge to get in?
No charge whatsoever.
All right, fine. Well, we hope that if you're in Pennsylvania, why, you'll get there. And because Dean is certainly one of the most articulate spokesmen for this cause of being able to understand how they're manipulating us. Did you pick up the story, Dean?
Yes. The process I talk about, Diaprax, is the procedure to move citizens into a predetermined outcome. And the Diaprax is simply a procedure. It's a dialectic process. And praxis, which is a practice. And the practice is associated to the behavior of the community. The dialectic is something that we all do, and it's tied to dialogue. And what you learn in a philosophy class, you learn about Hegel and Nietzsche and Kierkegaard and Marx and socialists. But the focus I'm going to go on is how this process actually is played out in a group setting. And that's the role of the facilitator, is to create an environment where you will gravitate to a group decision, and you'll abandon the principles and standards you came into the meeting originally to defend.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Business owners, if you want half-off paperclips, we can't help you. If you want half-off computers, we can't help you. If you want half-off letterhead or coffee mugs, we can't help you. But if you want to save up to half the cost on your new building, well, we can help you. We're General Steel, and we can get you a brand new steel building for up to half the cost of conventional construction, and it can be put up in about half the time. When you look around, you'll see that more and more businesses, churches, and schools are using steel buildings to save time and money. And what's more, you choose the size and you choose the look. Brick, stucco, or stone, whatever you want. If you want a new building for up to half the cost of conventional construction, call General Steel today. For your free information, call 800-722-9020. For a church, school, or gymnasium, manufacturing, warehousing, or retail buildings, call for your free information at 800-722-9020. That's 800-722-9020.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest today, of course, is our very special friend, Dean Gotzer. He's talking about the dialectic process, and what this really is a means by which your mind is changed, the minds of the people there, so they're willing to go along with the group. The whole idea of this process is to do away with individualism. Everything becomes groupthink. And that, of course, is the basic tenet of any of the collectivist philosophies. Individualism, where you are an individual, where you get your freedom from God, and you act according to his dictates, that is verboten. Now everything is the group. What's good for the group? And, of course, if you have some aberrant ideas, why, you are a troublemaker. You are really interfering with progress. Everything's going to have to be done to marginalize you and silence you, because the thing is all planned ahead of time, everything going on today. Whether it be the war in the Middle East, planned long ahead of time, whether it be what's happening with immigration, what's happening with education, already what's happening to our local communities, the environmental movement, how we're going to have to give up so much of our freedom, you know, in the name of preserving the environment or preventing global warming or the ozone hole, or call it what you will. They're all make-believe, but the common denominator to every problem is a new series of government laws with a progressive loss of freedom. And with that, Dean, you go ahead and tell the rest of the story.
And actually, it's using the crisis that is being presented to us so that we then are forced into an environment of dialogue and discourse. And that's, you know, we do that. But in this process, the agenda isn't so much that we solve these problems externally, as far as the environment, it is concerned about changing the way we think and using the crisis to change us. And I tell people, if you go to a meeting with Robert's Rules of Order and an honest chairman, you came to fix a bridge that was washed out. You could, get the budget. You can find the engineers who can satisfy the job. But if you bring a facilitator in, he's got a totally different agenda. He's going to use the bridge crisis to fix you. And that fixing is to socialize you. Now, the dialectic is simply a process of identifying and mapping the environment. When you come into a meeting, a facilitator is trained to identify your behavior. He has to identify where you are at the time, whether you're an authority-based person, whether you're or didactic, as you would call it, or a traditional or thesis-minded person, or a constitutional Republican kind of thought, or whether you're on the other side, whether you're on his side, a liberal, a person who can synthesize opposites, who can get along to get along and is willing to compromise for the sake of the relationship. Or most people are in the middle. They just want to solve the problem and go back to whatever they were doing before the meeting was called. The dialectic would use these steps. They say first the facts-based knowing people, the patriarchal people, are known as thesis. They have a position. You write a thesis paper, a position paper, and you are simply stating, here is my outcome based on facts and truth. But you can't get to globalism with that, because that actually ends up with nationalism, or at the lowest level, and probably the most important, is the family, the traditional family setting. What we live in is a world of antithesis. In other words, you have a position, and you come to a meeting, somebody has an opposing position. And so now we have two choices. And what happens is you're going to say, well, my position's right, which automatically states the other person's position is wrong. And according to the social engineers, that's the cause of war. That actually creates nationalism. That is the cause of traditional families, parents who would protect their children from the ways of the world. Now, there's language that ties to each one of these paradigms. They call these ways of thinking paradigms. The traditional paradigm has a language of is and not. That's contract language. This is my land. Not enough to say this is my land, because everybody else in the community can say this is my land. You have to say, this is my land and not your land. And it correlates to all the laws of nature. You know, 2 plus 2 is 4 and cannot be any other number. And so the authority structure, this structure that you have to destroy if you're going to have globalism, carries this negative language of restraint. We have in our Constitution, Congress shall not. Well, unfortunately, it should have been written in there as far as the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court cannot. It was understood. The framers didn't have in their minds that the courts would become what they were, because it was understood that it was a society that was built on a biblical base of contract language, is and not. And that's contrast. See, God says, if you obey me, you're blessed. If you disobey me, you're cursed. In the scriptures, it's light versus dark, heaven, hell, sheep, goats. It's always contrast. And so the parent tells the child, you cannot go out. And, of course, the child doesn't like that, because at that moment you only have two choices. You either obey or you disobey, and that's still a biblical basis. So we try to get the parent into dialogue. Why? Why can't I go out? And if the parent wants to dialogue, fine, but the parent is going to instruct the child in why they can and cannot do what they've been told to do. Now, if the parent doesn't want to dialogue, if the parent says, you know what, this is something I don't have to explain to you, this is something you must do, it's the right thing to do, the parent stops the dialogue, which can lead to compromise with, because I said so. And if you break that down, is I cause to be. In other words, I'm the one in authority, and you're the one under authority. And so you have a biblical contract-based language, is and not. Well, the dialectic world hates that. You can't get to globalism with that, because that's the language of nationalism. This is my border, this is my land, and not your land. And so it protects the family. This is my child and not your child. And so there's a protection of the citizens, there's a protection of the family, and it leads to a sanctuary. There's a place that you can hide, that you can be yourself, and you don't have surveillance and all these the things we're experiencing today all across our society is because that paradigm has been attacked. In fact, Marx put it this way. He says, once you realize that traditional family is God's secret, that traditional family, that structure that can't do something, the child tries to give it a dialogue, the parent says, because I said so, which produces a patriarchal child. He says, once you realize that traditional family is God's secret, that family has to be annihilated. That's what Marx said. And how do you do it? You do it in theory, and you do it in practice. Now, I'll explain that. The second stage, and this is how to move you away, is the antithesis stage, which means when you meet somebody that you like, somebody that you have feelings toward, and they have an opposing position, you have a dilemma. If you hold to your position, it's going to prevent you from relating with this other person. So the first thing we try to do is not bring the issue up. We try to avoid it. But there are times you can't avoid it. So then you have to present your position and hold to it. And they probably will say, you know, I don't like you. You go your way and I'll go my way. And you just lost relationship with that person. And that hurts. So feelings is the second part. This is all about relationship today. It's not about truth. It's about relationship. So traditional society is simply saying traditional parents, traditional church, traditional workplace is saying, you know what, we have to hold a principle. Even if nobody's going to agree with you, you still have to hold the truth because truth is what's important. But so when this relationship, this feeling comes up, then parents say, well, evil company corrupts good morals. You pull your child in. You won't let them relate with the world system. But on the other side, on the dialectic side, they say, we have to create an environment of crisis. We have to create an environment or find a crisis where we can pull you and this other person together. And, yes, you can work with other people to fix a problem, but what we want you to do is you get along with them. You feel good about them. You find what you have in common and get you to focus on the feelings. And if we can do that, if we can play some fun games before the meeting and the person who came into the meeting was who was going to oppose you, now you and them have a good time, it makes both of you less willing to hold to your position, because once you've had a laugh with somebody, it's sort of hard to tell them what they're doing is wrong. And so you're being set up. You're being sensitized to feelings. And you then, if that happens, you will be willing to sacrifice the principles and the standards and the positions and the people you came to represent in the meeting for the sake of maintaining the relationship. Now, the dialectic end of it is simply called synthesis. And you can't synthesize unless you have opposites or different. So it's also referred to as negation of negation. Now, I don't want to bury you here, but it's important to understand this. The dialectic world, if you come into a meeting, if you come into a facilitated meeting, and somebody tells you not to be negative, they're simply saying, can you leave that patriarchal right and wrong, black and white, light and dark, sheep and goats, the paradigm that God uses, out of the room? We are willing to talk about the is, but we don't want to hear the thou shalt not, because that is what divides. So you know right away, the issue isn't to fix the bridge. The issue is to fix you, to get you to change the way you think. So that, in a nutshell, is the process. Now, the issue is how to create this environment. And so you can, we have 10 national training laboratories in this nation. They were started in 1947, the first one in Bethel, Maine. I call them Marxist training camps because they simply were the result of men like Kurt Lewin, who worked as an editor for the Frankfurt School in their paper. These were Marxists, the Frankfurt School, who came here. Kurt Lewin, the father of group dynamics, he was instrumental in starting the national training laboratories. And then Ronald Lippin, Kenneth Benet, and a whole cauldron of social engineers, transformational Marxists, set out to apply the techniques that they developed in the training labs in every institution in this nation. And there's plenty to read out there on it. You can get Martin Jay's book, The Dialectic Imagination, and he will tell you all the information up to the 50s. Now, from the 50s to the 60s, that's when it all hit the fan. And we find today, well, you know, question authority. And question authority is when a parent tells you you can't do something, now you have to get them into dialogue, get them to compromise the position that they are declaring you must obey.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dean Gottscher. But this is how they're working to change us, and behind them are powerful financial forces. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in the U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Currency devaluation, inflation, one and the same. If you had deposited $100,000 in a bank at 1% in a 30-month period dating from May 24, 2005, here is what happened to your funds. The dollar lost 33% of its value in that time frame. The bank paid you 1%. Your $100,000 now has a net purchasing power of $68,000. Here is reality. The devaluation of currency equals real inflation. Keep in mind how the value of your paper assets are measured in dollars. Gold in the same time frame increased 35% in value. Learn how to protect and profit in this truly unstable world economy. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything, all kinds of fans, sheets, pillows, you name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helped. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot, no matter what the reason. You can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer.
Visit bedfan.com. That's bedfan.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Dean Gottscher, and Dean certainly understands how they are brainwashing the American people. He calls it diaprax. We can call it what you want to. It is a means by which they are able to modify your outlook and get you to come into agreement with them and to sacrifice your individuality. You know, the wonderful thing about America is that we were allowed to be individuals. We were allowed to be free. But you see, the transformational Marxists, traitors to this country, subversive elements, came in here financed by the great tax-exempt foundations, by our great corporations, and certainly energized by the spiritual forces that energizes this whole entire movement to do away with the individual and bring them under the control of the all-powerful state. This is what it's about. And they're doing it step by step. And most people have no idea what's going on, because you're never going to hear about this from Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or the other conservatives, the finest conservatives that money could buy. Dean, pick up the story and run with it.
In fact, Stan, one of the Marxists, Theodore Adorno, his whole work out of Berkeley was how to undo the effect the traditional family had on the college students and the workplace. The whole focus for the last 80 years has been on how to undo a patriarchal home structure, how to undo the effect it had upon students and workers and every facet of society, every policy-making environment. And these transformational Marxists knew that you couldn't persuade people to give up property, because property is, this is my land and not your land. They couldn't persuade people to give up their principles. They had to create an environment that a person would be willing to, out of pain, willing to sacrifice his principles and his land with some promises of the moment that would make them feel good. In other words, it's like Esau giving up his birthright for food, something in the here and now, something in the moment, and be willing to sacrifice principle, which is the foundation for the future. And so the whole focus was upon feelings, and that's the key to relationship. And if you can shift, they call this a paradigm shift, if you can shift the focus of the meeting upon relationship away from principle, you can bring people into an act of negating or putting aside the restraining language they came into the room with. And you can remove this contrast. Notice today it's focusing on what we have in common. Well, from Genesis to Revelation, the message is not what is common. It is contrast. God says, my ways are not your ways. And in that contrast between light and dark and heaven and hell and sheep and goats, there's no middle ground. There is no compromise. And for world peace, you have to remove that structure, that paradigm, from the way that people think. And the best way, according to social engineers, and it worked, is to follow the same pattern, the same paradigm, the same system, that and the same environment that Satan got Eve into in the garden. In fact, Marx has studied the procedure that took place there. Satan came to Eve to bring her into dialogue or into discourse and used a sentence structure, yea, if God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden, which is known in hypnosis, the most powerful sentence structure in hypnosis, as neurolinguistics. It's an embedded statement in a question. I've had UN officials come to meetings and they'll say, well, we're trained in this language. We're trained in neurolinguistics and nominalization, and we're trained how to train mayors and dentists and others, professionals in the community, to use these sentence structures to get people moving away from principle thinking and sensitize them to their feelings. And that's exactly what happened in the garden, because Eve's response was not to repeat what God said. She shared her opinion of what God said. It's interesting, the difference between what a parent tells a child and what the child says the parent told them is quite revealing, because the child usually reshapes what the parent said to include their feelings in regards to what the parent said. That's an opinion. And you find that in the scriptures. Eve shares her opinion. The focus even in the church today is, well, we don't really want to hear the text. We want to hear your opinion of the text. The courts today, well, we don't want you to tell us what the Constitution is. We want to hear your opinion of it. Because the opinion is where you have left out. You began the process of removing the negative, removing the restraining language. Your opinion will draw you into discussion and dialogue to compromise. You have literally moved off of a foundation onto your foundation, which is shifting sand. So Eve shares her opinion, and then she blames God. She says, well, for God has said, thou shalt not eat of it, nor touch. touch it lest ye die. Nor touch it is important. It is the language of ought to be. Maslow, in his Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs, he stated that we have to create an environment of oughtiness.
All right, we'll be back in a moment.
The preceding broadcasts are available at GCNlive.com or call toll free 877-300-7645.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. This is not a debt consolidation company. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt. Instead of living each day in fear, it's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024 and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Network, and our guest is Dean Gotcher. And before we go on, Dean, would you like to tell our listeners what your website is again and once more announce where you're going to be speaking there in Pennsylvania?
Okay, they can link on to authorityresearch.com. I have lots of information. You can go to DiPrax articles and just article after article explaining the different applications and the facets of this process. And then if you link to schedules, you can find where I'm going to be on Friday, the 8th of December. I'm going to be in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. It's really Lemoyne, L-E-M-O-Y-N-E, Pennsylvania. I'm going to be speaking at the Perkins Restaurant at 7 p.m., and that's located on 7 Erfurt Road. And I put a link there, and you can link to the website of the folks that are hosting me. And then from there, in their website, you can... they'll have a map there for you to, if you needed it. So.
All right, fine. You get any other good talks coming up soon?
Yeah, they're on the website if you check it. I can't tell you. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to be speaking in Lima, Ohio, at a Christian school, morning, afternoon, with the faculty and then in the evening with a parent. So.
All right, fine. Well, of course, if you're interested, just go up to Dean's website, and I will tell you his material is wonderful. You need to understand the message he has. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-2-5-9-5-7-9-1. In this hour, it's 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And if you have a question about this or a comment, this is such an important issue because most people don't understand how they mold our minds, but more important, how they're molding the minds of the children, the young people, and they create the reality. And that's why so many people you go up to today and you try to tell them what's going on and they look at you with that blank stare and they say, it could not be true. It just couldn't be true. Their minds are under control. Their views have been manipulated, and everything, you know, is exactly as their masters would have it. And Bertrand Russell talked about that back in 1953 in his book, The Impact of Science on Society, where he said, by diet and injections, we will be able to create this sort of mental outlook that the state wants, and so that, you know, as a person grows up, they will never be able to disagree with the ideas that were implanted in their minds by their teachers. That's what's going on today. Understand, break free, be able to think for yourself. Stand here as a free man in a free society, because if we don't stand now, and again, others convinced to stand with us, then soon freedom as we know it will become a remembrance of things past. Well, go ahead, Dean, and again, our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, 800-259-5791. And Chris, a lot of this has been financed by the big tax exempt foundations, hasn't it, Dean?
Right. Power to tax is a power to destroy. And when you tax property, for instance, you no longer own that property. A lot of farmers, I was raised in Nebraska, and during the 30s and 40s, a lot of farmers didn't know the power of taxes, and they had never been taxed on their property. And a lot of farmers lost their property because all of a sudden they had to do was pay for their 3 years of delinquent taxes, and the sheriff came out and took everything away. So there's just been a lot of heartache down through the years because of the power of tax. Well, the process, this is what's so important, is that when Eve shared her opinion, she shared her, nor touch it. I ought to at least be able to touch a tree. If I did this to you in a meeting, and you came in, say, holding to a position, as a facilitator, my agenda is to get everybody in the room just to come down to where we can all agree on one issue, it's going to focus on relationship. And I'll say, well, you know, we ought to get along here. Now, the moment ought comes out in discussion in the room, you realize that everybody is staring at you. Now, they may be looking forward to me, but you sense that there is a rejection of you. Now, this is what happens in a home when a parent tells a child they can't do something, and the child tries to get the parent into dialogue for compromise, and the parent doesn't go there because what they just said was true. They say, because I said so, since we can't dialogue with higher authority, we dialogue with ourselves. And the language is, well, I ought to be able to go out. That's the child who's sitting staring out the window when they've been told they can't go out, and they just, well, I ought to be, I ought to, should have, might have, could have, you know. It's that rebellious language. And you don't have an ought to be without a thou shalt not that interferes with your desires. And social engineers understood this. The same pattern that, see, Satan was working on Eve, and Eve was deceived in participating in. And once that ought then comes out, it reveals any restraint you've had in your life you didn't like. And then, by the way, she does say, lest ye die. In other words, she, in that opinion, stated, well, God did say I would die. Then Satan says, well, you won't die. Now, here's the power. If it was still contrast with Eve, if she hadn't shared her ought to be, what she felt like doing, even though she said, thou shalt not. In other words, God said you would die. In other words, there's consequence. When Satan says you won't die, she would have said, well, you're wrong, because God said we would die. Well, no, you won't. Yes, we will. No, we won't. And you would have stayed contrast. But when you share your ought to be, I ought to be able to, when somebody tells you that, oh, what your parents said, really, they really didn't mean that, it's not really that important, you're going to go, I like you. Gee, my parents never asked me how I felt or what I thought about anything. I thought they were my friends. No, you're my friends. And And you just did a paradigm shift. You just shifted your focus onto somebody who will make you feel good, and you just sacrificed the principles and the standards that parent and God, Constitution, Republic gave to your, you know, the elected official is to represent the constituents who voted for him, that position. You just lost your representative. And so the power of the ought is the key to brainwashing, getting you to share an ought to be in the room. I'll do it with children. I get them to share their, well, I ought to be able to do this in a journal. And I'll put your child with three or four other students with the same ought to be's, and they will dialogue themselves out of a patriarchal respect for authority, respect for the parent, honoring the parent and obeying the parent way of thinking. And then the third, now once you practice this long enough, that's the praxis, the Greek word for practice is praxis. Once you practice it and habitualize it, and they use these terms, habitualization, conscientization, democratization. Once you get into this long enough, then you're now a theorist. Now it's interesting to know that if you say you know something, you can't say you're thinking. You know, I know 2 plus 2 is 4. If I say, well, I think 2 plus 2 is 4, I relativize it. Well, you can say, I think I know, but then you're still declaring you don't know. What's happened is, in this process, now you're a thinker. In other words, there isn't anything that's absolute. Everything is relative. In other words, somebody might say 2 plus 2 is 4, and you say, well, there's somebody else over here who believes that 2 plus 2 is 5, it's their opinion, and 4 is your opinion, and, you know, why don't we just put aside the cannot be any other number, and we can all get along. They can have their 5, you can have their 4, and you can actually get a 2 plus 2, an A, in a group grade, and come up with 2 plus 2 equals 5, because you did the process. You're willing to put aside the principles and the standards of truth that interfere with human relationship for the sake of the village, the community, the collective experience. That's what consensus means. Consensus means with sensation, with the sensuous. You've looked to the sensual world and you have made it one with you. And that's the power of this process. In fact, if you're in a group of unanimity, in other words, they have all decided that this is the right course to make, and you come in with your principle, it's very, very difficult to hold to your principle, especially if they're your friends, especially if you like them, because you know it's going to cost you promotion. I tell people the truth sets you free. In a dialectic world, it will set you free. It'll set you free from promotion, next term in office, respect in the community, being invited to the family reunion. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you that good grade. And this is the travesty that's happened to this nation, is this process has become the foundation for doing policy in the workplace. This is a procedure known as total quality management, total quality leadership for the military, the DARE and the COPS program for the police, school to work for your elected officials, HMO for your doctors, church growth. The church growth program is all built on this. You go into a Bible study, they call it, and then you open up many different interpretations. You leave the translation out. Who knows really what's the right way that God said it? And then I'm just being facetious here. And then you go around the room and you ask, well, how did you feel about this verse? What did you think about this? How do you feel? What do you think? And you're going to praxis, experience the procedure that Satan used on Eve in the garden. And then you're going to look at the environment then, the situation, the people around you to determine what's right and wrong. She saw and she said, well, the tree's good for food. Well, all the trees are good for food, so now we're focusing on what's common. Well, it's pleasing to the eyes. Well, all the other trees were pleasing to the eyes. This tree's pleasing to the eyes, so what's wrong with it? And notice this is all sense, sensation. And then desires. Now it's the forbidden tree is now the desire tree. In other words, if you want to get ahead, this is the procedure to use. Well, the moment she did that, the moment you participate in a facilitated meeting and come up with, come with this outcome, practice this process, you now have come to the point of saying what God said, what the parents said, is nonsense. It's nonsense. Why would you come in and be willing to lose your job for the sake of some truth that's not relevant for today? See, postmodernism means no standards. We have rejected a way of thinking that says there is right and there is wrong, and I'm going to stand on right even if it costs me everything. You will not be promoted. You will not be put in a position of influence in education, in the workplace, in the church, in government, if you think that patriarchal, didactic, right and wrong and black and white way of thinking. That's exactly the process that used that is recorded in Scripture, Genesis 3, 1 through 6, is a perfect demonstration of a facilitated meeting in the practice of the dialectic process. Now, one of the things recently I've run into, Stan, is watched a show on methamphetamine and pleasure. The Bible says lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that there's a chemical within us, between the neurons, there's a synapse, and a chemical's released to convey the message across, and the chemical for pleasure is dopamine. There's serotonin and others. Well, people have, like Parkinson's disease, there's something wrong, so you give them L-DOPA, and the brain will process that and make it into dopamine. Well, so the brain gets this information that you touched something that was pleasant. You smelt something that was pleasant. You saw, you know, the five senses. It gets in there, and then dopamine's released, and it goes to a part of the body that says, okay, move the muscles and pay attention to the environment because I like that feeling, and let's see if we can sustain it or promote it or recreate it. And the brain also activates the memory part so that it then records the event so that, you know, you're familiar with the environment so you can look forward to the pleasure, or you might be able to manipulate it to restore the pleasure. Now, there's another way we're wired, and that's for pain. And so when you put your hand on wood and get a sliver, those nerves are activated, and the brain does two things, basically, fight or flight. Either you try to get away from it or you fight it. But if you can't do either one of those, you become inhibited. Now, this is what the social psychologists have said. We're just made like the brain. That's all we are. And when you're inhibited, you're frozen. And the only way to get out of inhibition is to think. Now, in the dialectic, you can only think when you're put in an environment where you can question the restraining facts you've learned in the past. In other words, when you as a child grabbed a crayon and headed to the wall, and the parent restrained you, there was usually pain that was involved. They told you you couldn't do something, and then they brought pain into your life so that you might obey. Well, every facilitated meeting, they're doing the very same thing. They're saying, okay, when you bring a thou shalt not into the room, you're bringing pain into the room. You're bringing your parents' standards into the room. You're bringing God's standards into the room, and they're interfering with our pleasure. And so, now, the facilitator wants to make sure that you can't run. They want to keep you in there. They don't want you to fight them. So it forces you into the state of inhibition. In other words, you're frozen. And it actually creates, this can literally destroy the body. The stress that children and adults are going through today across this nation, I call it microterrorism. It is terrorism at the worst level because, you know, terrorism out there, they can take your body, but they can't take your soul. This is leaving your body and taking your soul. It is the destruction of the part of our life that tells us this is right and that is not. And is it literally a destruction of the heritage, the biblical heritage that was a foundation for the making of this nation. And that comes from the traditional home. The whole agenda is how to destroy the effect that parents who discipline their children have upon that child when they go into policy environment, workplace, education, government, church, so that now when they come in, let's all just dialogue. Let's just discuss. And if we can dialogue where everybody feels good, do you understand this is all drugs? We like pleasure. Our body is wired to pleasure, but it's also wired to pain. But serving the Lord is painful because there are times, you know, God says you have to humble yourself. You have to deny yourself. And if you don't humble or deny yourself, self will rule and self loves pleasure. That's why you see today we are a lover of pleasure and not a lover of God. And the worst of all this has happened in the church. The church growth movement is all about the pleasure that comes from the approval of men. If you're willing to put aside the wrath of God, the blood of the Lamb, the cross, all those, the witness of the gospel is by pain. Jesus despised the shame of the cross, the rejection of men, but he looked for the joy that lie ahead. But the night before he said, let this pain be removed from me. But then he says, nevertheless, thy will be done. I will do your will. I will obey you, Father, even to death. And see, this is the same structure in the home. The children are taught in a traditional patriarchal society to obey the parents. What we have today is a society that hates obedience, calls it and relates it to fascism, relates it to narrow-mindedness and maladjusted and lower-order thinkers. But the price we're going to pay, and we're paying, is a nation that's lusting after pleasure, the homosexuality and the pedophilia and the bestiality and the perversity that pervades our society is because we've opened up this Pandora's box, this way of thinking, where now we think upon our feelings and we think upon other people's feelings, all for the sake of the love of pleasure.
Well, we're out of time, I guess, it being Dean Gunter. And, of course, this is exactly what's going on in America. It did not happen by accident. These people are well-financed, well-trained, and, of course, they're after the heart and mind and souls of our children, and us, too, if we're gullible enough. Dean, best of luck. I hope the program goes real well, and, of course, give a call tomorrow evening and announce that over our evening program. Bye-bye, and God bless.
American Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, bath safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Dean Gunter. I always enjoy him. I've heard him many times, but what he's saying is really so true. Now, if you'd like to know who finances this whole thing, you need to get our book on the foundations. It was written, 48 years ago, 1958, but it's as true today as it was then. The Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie Foundations are part of a cabal intent upon changing our society. And the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, has been actually suppressed for so many years, and you can get it now through Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. You can get it as part of the Tragedy and Hope special at a special reduced price. You get the Foundations, Tragedy and Hope, and the interview with Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, where he tells you how his book was suppressed. He even tells you how, in Tragedy and Hope, how this book Foundation was suppressed. Everything was done to play it down because, of course, you know, he said it was a shocked book, but certainly not shocking. Why? Because the elite always understood that, of course, they were using the foundations of the Council on Foreign Relations and all of their ancillary organizations to destroy America. They are a subversive organization that is intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation and bringing about a one-world dictatorship under the control, of course, of an educated elite who really know so much better what you and I need. Let me just mention, we have a wonderful book we're trying to reprint. It's Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, Secret Records Revealed, and we put an index into it. We've actually added an epilogue, and you get a whole case of the books for $149.95 plus shipping, a pre-publication offer. It'll be three times or more, if you get them after publication. But if you'd like to get a pre-publication offer, and go ahead and give us your Visa, MasterCard, or send us a check, we won't cast those until we've actually got everything in place to go ahead with the printing of the book. So give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. Secret Records Revealed is a very important book. Next to my book, I think it's one of the most important books we have. Of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is a great introduction to the secret societies. And, of course, it is supplemented by Secret Records Revealed, which has all the wonderful quotations that Dr. Cuddy has collected through the years, and tells you where you can get to the originals, and he has the documentation on it all. If he didn't, it wouldn't be there. And then, ladies and gentlemen, let me hope that many of you out there will want to get some of the other material that we have available through Radio Liberty. Our book, certainly Hostage to the Devil by Malachi Martin, which you can get by itself or with the four-tape set, the Wisdom of Malachi Martin. And when you get the two together, you get a special reduced price. The same thing is true if you get our material on Iraq. It's called Iraq, The Untold Story. And if you get the syllabus, you get it at a reduced price. Sustainable Development video and syllabus at a reduced price. The Hidden Agenda, the story of how they're poisoning our children's mind and decreasing our fertility and testosterone level and creating all sorts of problems in both men and women with water fluoridation. They know what they're doing. They're poisoning our people because we have become much more docile and much less fertile with fluoridated water. Why are we doing it? Very simply because there are evil and wicked people out there. The Hidden Agenda syllabus has so much information on it. And then you can get our tsunami, the coming tsunami talk, or this talk and the syllabus with a reduced price. All of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now, we do hope that many of you, especially at this time of year, we'll remember Radio Liberty. We could certainly use your help. And if you believe that we have a unique message, that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield, we do hope that many of you will consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters or considering us over the holiday season. And again, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment with the next hour of Radio Liberty.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a new...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and well, today our guest is Thomas Horn, and Thomas is a minister. We've actually carried several of his books, Spiritual Warfare, The Gods Who Walk Among Us, and these books are available from Radio Liberty, but now we're going to be talking about a new book he's written. It's called The Armand Gate, and it gets into this whole idea of genetic engineering of human beings, of transgenetic engineering, and people think this sounds pretty far out. The trouble is, it is far out, and it's underway today, and a lot of this gets into the fact that the military has units that are trying to tap into the supernatural to obtain supernatural power. And, of course, they're tampering with the very handiwork of God to create super soldiers, and heaven only knows what they're about. But I'm sure God is not well pleased when he realizes, of course, that we're violating the various tenets of God, that we would have our species and each would reproduce according to his own kind. But man with his great intelligence, is going to thwart God's plan, or at least he thinks he is, but at what price? Thomas Horn, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's so good to be back on the air with you again.
Well, why don't you pick up the story, and how did you get interested in this whole idea of transgenics?
Well, you had a little role in that. It was about 12, 13 years ago, first of all, that I started seeing what you're talking about, this the emergence of biotechnology, and it followed after the mapping of the human genome, and one thing led to the other, and then pretty soon, you know, we're getting pretty good at using sciences to cross-manipulate and genetically modify different kinds of crops and things like that. And then about a decade ago, we started hearing about transgenic science and cloning, and so, you know, it caught my interest, being a guy who's always reporting the news over there at Raiders News Update and hoping that I can get somebody to read some of the things that we talk about, but this word transgenics leaped out at me. I'd never heard of it before, wasn't sure what it meant, and I started doing some research into transgenics. I was startled to find out that the military, or that the government that year, was fully providing one-fourth of all federal research grants were going to transgenic science. And I thought, wow, you know, if a fourth of all of the federal research grants are going to transgenic science, and I don't hear anybody talking about this, I need to find out what this is, because on the surface it's obvious that they're talking about breaching the species barrier. And as a pastor, of course, I'd always believe that, you know, God created everything that exists, and then he placed these barriers between the species and commanded that each species would reproduce after its own kind. And now if we, as the new gods in our own mind, are going to start breaking those barriers, you know, this could have long-term, far-reaching effects, both upon the environment and ethically and philosophically. And I didn't hear anybody talking about it. I didn't hear any preachers talking about it. I wasn't hearing I wasn't seeing any books that was coming out from any of the leading thinkers, you know, in the Christian community and the faith community. And so I just decided to do a little bit of research into this, and the more I dug and the deeper I went, and I had a couple of people, thankfully, that were well-placed in the government that could provide some additional information to me, I was absolutely startled at what I found. And so I wrote a couple of editorials. One of those editorials, for whatever reason, was picked up by you know, a large number of print press and also newscasters. And lo and behold, out of the blue, I get this contact from Cal Thomas, the co-host of CNN's Crossfire, and he wanted to share with me his opinion that what I had written about was evidence.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Tom Horn, who's an old friend. We've interviewed him many times in the past about his other books. Now, first of all, Tom is a minister. He actually has a wonderful book on spiritual warfare, which we carry. Another one on the gods who walk among us. The gods who walk among us. Fascinating books going into this whole spiritual battle we're engaged in. But more recently, he's come out with a new book called The Ahriman Gate, which you'll be able to get through Radio Liberty. But the whole idea is there is an effort for transgenic engineering. In other words, trying to create new species, trying to cross, you know, animals with humans and humans with animals. Now, we see this going on in food. Certainly 70%, 80% of the corn you actually eat today is created by genetic engineering with, in many instances, serious consequences, but you're not hearing about that. But this whole idea of transgenic, you know, engineering is a fascinating one. And so, Tom, you pick up the story there.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, and, you know, my interest in this began evolving as soon as I started hearing about transgenic science, the blending, genetic modification, the uses of biotechnology to alter living organisms and what that might mean and how it might impact both, you know, us as a species and also our environment. And so I wrote this article that received fairly wide distribution, and Cal Thomas contacted me, and, you know, he's a guy of faith. I'm not exactly sure. He might be a Catholic or something. I'm not sure what he is, but I know he has great faith. He's always talking about his faith, and he wrote me a letter and said, Tom, he said, what you're talking about with transgenics being used to alter living organisms, especially as it might relate to altering a human species, Homo sapiens, he said, if we're doing this, as you say we are, and I'd quoted resources from both the government and also the military, he said, this is proof to me that we've entered into a quickening of events that in his worldview was indicative of end times biblical prophecy. And he wasn't sure how much longer God, you know, would let things go on. And of course, it's gotten much worse since then. And of course, after I wrote that editorial, I was on the radio, on your radio show, and you and I were spokespersons for the film company Cloud 10 Pictures, who had put out a movie called Deceived that had Louis Gossett Jr. and Judd Nelson in it, which was talking about, you know, people who were putting themselves in contact with what they thought were...
Hold that thought right there, Tom. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Tom was just saying that when he talked to Cal Thomas, the well-known columnist, syndicated columnist, and of course Cal Thomas had contacted him after reading some of Tom's work and said, you know, if we really are beginning to alter the genetic makeup of human beings and of animals, this transgenetic engineering, then we may be much, much closer to the end times than we imagine. And then, of course, Tom has certainly continued with this this whole line. He was just mentioning that he had been on my program several years ago, dealing with a motion picture we had that was put out by Cloud 10 Productions called The Deceived, and actually it had starred Lou Gossett Jr. It was a story of a military unit that was engaged in secret research, trying to contact the supernatural. and trying to contact the other dimension. Now, this sort of thing really does go on. It goes on up at the Stanford Research Institute. It goes on in the universities all across this country, funded by your government. Why? Because they know there's tremendous power there. And if you can tap into that power, of course, maybe you could use that against the enemy or use it to control the population. But it was a fascinating video. In fact, I think we still have copies of both the video and the DVD. And if you want a fascinating a motion picture to watch, it's The Deceived with Lou Gossett. But pick the story up there, Tom.
Well, you're absolutely right. And not only was the military, you know, this movie was based partly on what they already knew that the U.S. military was doing. And I would tell people to think back about the research that the military has admitted doing into telekinesis and remote viewing. Even during this most recent Afghanistan war, there were reputable news stories about our military employing psychics, who were involved in the search for Osama bin Laden. But you and I were, you know, we were promoting that movie, and the night that we were doing that, I'd been doing all of this research into transgenics, and I knew that, you know, you were a medical doctor, and so I asked you if you believed that we were actually going to develop these proto-humans, these transhumans who might have telekinetic and other kind of abilities, and whether we would be able to do that through human enhancement using the sciences of transgenics and biotechnology, genetic engineering, and so on, which the leading thinkers in transhumanism, which we can talk about later today, they believe that we will do that and that we'll even go beyond such things as telekinesis. And I remember, I don't remember exactly what the conference was, but I remember when you and I were talking about that, that you had just got back from a convention somewhere and you had said that they were discussing some of those very issues about where these new sciences were going to be taking us in our ability to be able to alter the human species as well as other animal species as well as living organisms, some of the various different kinds of things that could be created to be used for the military and so on. And so I thought, you know, somebody in the faith community ought to be writing about this, and since nobody was, I just decided to do it. And so I started getting as much research papers on everything I could find related to this field, as well as I started making contacts with actual people involved in biotechnology, anybody that was willing to talk to me. And along the way, I ran into an old college professor friend of mine at a conference, and he said, well, if you're going to write this book, don't make it stuffy because people don't read books like that anymore. He said, if you want the broad mass, the average person, to read it, and if you want to open a discussion on the ethics and philosophical questions that might be raised by this new emerging science, then he said you ought to do like Clancy and the rest of those guys and create a fiction book, but weave into the story the whatever the questions are that you want to raise about these emerging sciences. And so I did that, and we wrote the book, The Ahriman Gate. People that want to know how that name is spelled, it's Ahriman, The Ahriman Gate. And if you don't already have those, Dr. Monteith, you'll be getting them today or tomorrow, any time now. And so people that want to buy that book could get it directly from you. And but we wrote the book. It has become the all-time best-selling book for the publisher, outselling every book. In fact, the publisher told me recently that if they take every book they have published right now, and this year they published 40 books, so they publish a lot of books, they said if they combine every book they have published right now, this book has outsold all of them combined. It's got 55 star reviews, so I would encourage people to get a hold of Dr. Monteith, Radio Liberty, and to get a copy of this book. But the thing that started standing out to me, Dr. Monteith, you talk about the supernatural side of this and how through playing God, opening these doorways, pushing past the restrictions of species barriers, how there could be a supernatural element to that. We could be opening gateways that we're not prepared for, both in our mind. The military has an interest in doing it for their own obvious reasons, and we can talk about that later if you want. But when I was doing this research, I was trying to find everything I could in history that would discuss this issue of blending different species to create new species, and I was astounded to find in the ancient literature of all of the great civilizations from around the world, that there was a story about these watchers who came down. In some folklore mythology, they're referred to as gods. But they came down, and right away they began tinkering with the DNA of both animals, plants, and also humans. And I wanted to know why they did that. And the tinkering with this DNA led to them incarnating themselves, or crossing from their dimension into our dimension. And it seemed to me that I was actually retracing the first records in history of transgenic science, which had been used by superintelligences, in my opinion, fallen angels, but superintelligences who, for their own reasons, were the first to open the Ahriman Gate. And I wondered if that's fact, if that's true, and if you believe, if you have a religious persuasion, if you believe in God, if you believe that the Bible is inspired, then there are records in the first books of the Bible and other books that correspond and that are also quoted. They're not part of our, our current Bible, but they're quoted by the Bible. Some of these ancient texts all tell this story about what was going on with these gods and their interest in blending species and why they did it and how they used it to incarnate themselves and how it brought both the earth and those creations under the judgment of God.
Well, because this is the story of what happened at the time of Noah, and of course we're told, that Christ will return as it was in the days of Noah, and certainly in the days of Noah, there's these demonic beings, these fallen angels, who are mating with women and creating a whole new breed of blending the supernatural and the natural.
Absolutely, and so I started wondering, if man, in his dumb rush now to play God, are we actually rushing back into a science that was first introduced on Earth thousands of years ago, that came under judgment of God and that brought the Earth under judgment of God, that ultimately led to the Great Flood, according to one theory. And astonishingly, I found that this record of transgenic science leading to this chaos was not just recorded in the Bible. It was recorded everywhere, history around the world, all these different civilizations speaking of this fact, of this time when these super intelligences, these gods or fallen angels or whatever you want to call them, came down and they mingled their species with the human race. And here's another interesting thing. If you look at from the earliest known recorded religions that came out of Mesopotamia, beginning with Sumeria and barely before that, all the way up until modern ufology and alien abduction phenomenon, and everything in between those two, there is a mythos that surrounds an event that, in my mind, is the closest thing to evidence for what you could actually call documentation. Dr. Monteith, of this bridging of the two worlds, the supernatural and the natural, and among the most well-developed of all of those societies, there were these records of this starting phenomenon. Some of the New Agers call these cargo cults. We would call them historians, maybe holy men, prophets, but they concerned themselves with recording what and who had suddenly descended through the gates of heaven or descended on tall mountains like Mount Hebron and came down and started involving themselves with these antediluvian women. And I found that in Assyrian, Egyptian, Greek, all of these great mythologies, these gods, in order to materialize or to take three-dimensional expression, had to do, guess what? They had to blend different species in order to create a pathway, a portal, through which they could extend themselves in the material world. That's what Genesis says. They saw the daughters of Adam, that they were fit extensions. Now, if you look at the ancient book of Jasher, 4:18, it says, after the fallen angels went into the daughters of men, the sons of men began teaching the mixture of animals of one species with the other, end quote. If you look at what's happening in modern ufology, there is this fact that vital energy that's associated with molecular matter, three-dimensional life forms, and not just not trees and things like that, but living conscious matter such as animals and humans seems to be required as a kind of a construct material for achieving incarnation by these so-called alien beings. Now, for people of faith who are bothered with the idea that these, whether you want to call them aliens or watchers or fallen spirits, that they would have some ability to create a different life form. Some people are bothered by that. But if you do, if you just simply look at the scripture, what you find is that it is God alone, it is the Creator alone, who possesses the power to speak. And the Hebrew word there is haya, let there be. God alone has the power to speak and to command that out of nothingness, raw atomic or nuclear energy comes forth in the specified molecular form.
Okay, hold that thought right there, Tom, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Tom Horn, and we're talking about this whole idea that there is another dimension, that there really are beings from these other dimensions, that the UFOs are certainly real. I don't believe they come from other planets, but I believe that they are the bridge between the dimension in which we live and the other dimension. That's why they can go zooming along at 5,000 miles an hour and make an abrupt right turn, which is physically impossible. But they're not governed by the same laws of dynamics that we are, because we come from a different dimension. But these beings, there are really tens of thousands of alien abductions that have been recorded, and these have been recorded, even some of them back at Harvard University, where they've done extensive interviews, and they all tell the same thing. These beings seem to be fascinated with human reproduction, whether it be gathering of sperm or women's eggs or all of these things, and what they're hatching up, we don't know. But this is not imaginary. It's very real. And it's one of the manifestations of this other dimension that we talk about that most people find so hard to believe, and yet it is a reality. So go ahead there. In fact, I've had witches contact me. They're furious because of one thing I'd said on a national television program, and this witch was writing. She said, you know, I'm really a good witch. I'm a white witch. You know, they're bad witches, but I'm a good witch. And after all, we have our rituals, and we have our, you know, our seances, and we do all of these things because we want to contact the beings from the other dimension. We want to contact the beings from the other dimension. And the thing is that they do contact the beings from another dimension, and you certainly don't want to have anything to do with that, believe me. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, I was a pastor for 25 years. I was also among a group of 40 exorcists. And I will tell people, you definitely do not want to be involved or, fascinated by those spiritual forces that exist side by side with us, but God has gave us the blessing of being separated from them unless we go looking for them. And but in ufology and in abduction phenomenon, you find that there is this same thing that corresponds to this whole ancient story of transgenics, and that is whatever is happening among ufology, some of these secular researchers, Dr. John Mack, Jacques Vallée, others, some of the best of all of the secular researchers that have tried to kind of just keep an open mind and not try to interpret it any particular way, have found that there is this phenomenon that is repeated over and over again in this abduction phenomenon where they're trying to harvest matter. And I was saying just a moment ago that, you know, that some of the people in the faith community that I've talked to have a little bit of a problem with the idea that anybody besides God can create. But it's very clear that God alone has the power to call something out of nothingness. He's the only one that can do that, that can speak and command and call nuclear energy to come into certain kinds of molecularized form and create living energy. However, after the fact, these intelligences can do the same thing that these doctors that are involving themselves in biotechnology can do today. They can take living matter and they can corrupt it in ways which I think are an affront to God. And these whatever these alien species and whatever are, which is not really what we're talking about, but it's associated with what we're talking about, the record is clear that they need that matter for whatever reason to to construct expression.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Tom Horn. We're talking about his book, The Hermann Gate, and about this movement towards transgenics, towards trying to engineer crosses between human beings and animals between human beings. So pick up the story there, Tom.
Well, certainly, and we were talking about the fact that only God can create, but that in ufology there is this record where whatever is happening with these intelligences and their involvement with women and other abductees, that they, you know, they're harvesting cell matter, they're harvesting molecular matter from human species, which also seems to go back, and I'm not the first researcher, obviously, to make that connection, but it seems to be parallel ancient mythology from Sumerians and Hebrews and Hittites, Babylonians, Assyrians, all who believed that there was these gods who came down and used molecular matter of animals and humans and created, you know, blended these species in order to create for themselves some method for extending themselves from their dimension into our world. Now, earlier I quoted Jasher 4:18, which is not in the Bible, but it is quoted in the book of Joshua. It's also quoted in the book of 2 Samuel, another book that's not in the Bible, which might be considered by some to be a pseudepigrapha or an apocryphal book, is the book of Enoch, which is also quoted in the Bible in two books in the New Testament, and in the early church was part of their Bible. But in the book of Enoch, and also in the Old Testament, this moving from one dimension to another through using vital energy or molecularized matter, human matter, animal matter, and blending those is also, the Book of Enoch is also one of the records that says that this appeared to include both animals and humans. So it is an early record of transgenic science. And Enoch says in the seventh chapter of the Book of Enoch that these super intelligences, these watchers, these fallen angels, they sinned against the animals in the same way they sinned against the humans. And so my whole point about all of this is that when I started doing research into transgenics and genetic modification and what some of the ethical questions, ramifications, philosophical questions might be, I was startled that I found that there is this ancient record, and it is global, it is around the world, that talks about these beings that involve themselves with women. And if the only reason why the watchers were involving themselves with women was because they were enamored with their beauty or lusted after them or wanted to have sex with them, if that was the only thing they were doing, then it doesn't make any sense what this blending with animals and plant life and other kinds of DNA was about, which isn't it interesting, Dr. Monteith, that that happened then, and we have the record. It hasn't happened until now. All of a sudden it's happening now, and you said earlier, you reminded earlier of the prophecy of Christ, which said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so I think this had something to do with corrupting God's creation. It was a direct affront to God himself. Now, some people say it was an attempt to stop the birth line of the Messiah, that through intermarriage of fallen angels and antediluvian women, they would corrupt that bloodline, and then through the intermarriage of that offspring over a long period of time, all of human blood, all of human DNA would be corrupted, so it cut off the birth line of the Messiah. And I think it's a good theory, and it led to the fiat of the flood, in which Noah and his children were the only ones remaining whose DNA had not been corrupted through intermarriage leading back to the Nephilim, which was the offspring of the watchers. And so that actually makes sense when you ask, you know, why would God, who is a loving God, have to wipe out all of these animals and these little kids and everybody else? It's because they were not humans as we know them. And now, guess what? Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. We are now poised. We are now on the cusp, according to different scientific journals, according to even some of our popular magazines like Time Magazine, National Geographic, who are telling us that we are right now within 5 to 10 years of being the last sole higher intelligent occupiers of planet Earth. Why? Because transhumanism is being advocated by PhDs around the world in our leading institutions. It's being bought into, and right now Australia today is debating human cloning for the harvesting of stem cell research, but it's going to lead into much more than that. And some of their own, some of their, you know what? I don't know if you know this, but this week, I think it's this week that Australia is going to decide on whether they're going to allow human clones for farming stem cells. And yet today there was an article called "Moral Boundary in Danger Over Cloning." And the interesting thing about this article was that there was an MP by the name of Lindsay Tanner who said that society is dangerously close now to crossing a moral boundary that is going to change what it means to be human. Listen to this quote. Lindsay Tanner,
we're going to have to hold that quote because we're going to have to go to a quick break here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Tom Horn, and he was certainly going to read us a quote from somebody who's saying they're going to have to redefine what it means to be human. What you have to understand is the military has been working on all of these things behind the scenes. They want to create a new race of soldiers, the so-called super soldiers. They can fight for days without sleep, without food. They want to actually engineer a new human being. And they're working on this very, very hard. And you read the material being put out, you know, in private by the very military journals. They have unlimited sums of money to breed these new super soldiers. Because after all, it's the purpose of military to win wars. And if we didn't do it, somebody else would do it. And so they're going to change the entire genetic makeup of human beings so they will be better soldiers. Have you gotten into this at all, Tom?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Go right ahead. You pick it up there.
Oh, you know what? I thought we were in a commercial.
Well, no, we're sort of what we really are. Well, we talked about a commercial. Go ahead.
I wanted to tell you about this. It was a news story. It came out today. It came out of Australia because, as you and probably many of your listeners know, the government of Australia is looking seriously now at allowing human clone farming for stem cells. And today there was an article where one of the MPs in Australia, Lindsay Tanner, said that society is dangerously close now to crossing a moral boundary that will change what it means to be human. And I want to read you this quote. Lindsay Tanner, and the interesting thing here, Dr. Monteith, is that Tanner actually supports the law that will allow cloning. He's going to vote for it. And yet he says that he has serious concerns about the path that science is heading down. Quote, he says, "We are, as a society, gradually acquiring the ability to change the nature of what it means to be human. Because of scientific and technological advances, we are gradually getting into a position where we can recreate ourselves as a species, and the implications of that are absolutely profound. At some point, we may cross a moral boundary where we will, in effect, re-engineer what human life is. I fear that we're getting close to that point now," end quote. Well, I would say we've already crossed that point. But Mr. Tanner goes on to say that some of the ethicists that they're dealing with in Australia are already arguing, listen to this, already arguing that parents have an obligation through eugenics to create the best child possible. And that while others are debating...
Hold that thought right there, Tom. We'll be back in just a moment here with Tom Horn as we explore this difficult subject. Well, Tom is basically saying that there is this debate that's going on, certainly in Australia. They're talking about, you know, allowing the cloning. And, of course, the other people are saying, you know, we're fearfully about to cross a barrier where there'll be no turning back as we begin to engineer a new type of human being. And so pick the story up there.
Well, that's exactly right. And he said that some of the ethicists were already arguing that parents now have an obligation through eugenics to create the best child possible, end quote. Well, of course, we know that sex selection is already happening in the UK and other places, that was so-called designer children. But they're in Australia where they're in this debate right now. They've brought in these various different professionals in the field, bioethicists and leading thinkers. And one of the things that was also in that article was that whereas others are debating a future about, you know, what will it mean to be a human, what will it mean to be an animal, the things that they're being told is that we're facing a future right now where, not in the too distant future, sex won't even be necessary for reproduction, and humans will merge with machines and produce hybrid species that are only part human, end quote. Those are actual quotes from a press release concerning, you know, what they're being told. And I can tell you that even before the writing of this book, The Ahriman Gate, which people can get through contacting you at Radio Liberty, that my research was taking me to the door, to the forefront of the people who are the leading futuristic thinkers, especially with regard to how biotech might alter the human species. And then as soon as my book came out, I think I did your show, I did some other shows, I was doing as much as 8 hours a day, and somehow some of the leaders in this transhumanist community started hearing, you know, some of these shows I was doing, and so, you know, out of nowhere, Dr. James Hughes, which is probably like one of the top two transhumanist thinkers out there, who's very well known, and is the director for the Institutes of Ethics and Emerging Technologies. He's a bioethicist, he's a sociologist, he teaches at Trinity College in Hartford, he sits on the board at the Yale University and some other universities, he's a friend of Nick Bostrom, who's also a leading transhumanist, and he invited me to come on his show where we talked about, you know, what some of my concerns were, but we came to the same conclusion that I'm completely of a different discipline and a different kind of person than he is, and I wouldn't agree with much of anything that he hopes will happen. But we both believe, based on what we've been told, both inside the government and also what we're seeing happening in terms of the development of science and what's being allowed and what our law schools are doing, that mankind is now standing on the edge of a cliff, and we're going over it, and a radical future is being developed where the integration of enhancement technology related to biotechnology is poised to take the human race into a place where we've never been before.
I think, Tom, what we're dealing with is people, since they don't believe in God, they believe that man has to create a better type of human being. They have to create a better society. They have to constitute this one world government where everything can be controlled and man, with his superior intelligence, can bring about a utopia, this whole idea of bringing the kingdom of God to earth. But through them, and of course, without God, or at least without the God we worship. And then there's the other people, like you and I, who believe that, you know, between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference. And when you begin to challenge God and his plan, why, you leave certainly the world open for tremendous retribution, and because there are consequences, not only for what we do, but for what we allow to happen. And when the good people sit back and do nothing, when there are evil people out there who want to transform God's creation, I believe that we certainly have to look forward to God's intervention, because if God is just, he is not going to simply sit there and do nothing.
Well, Leon Cass in his book, and Leon Cass is the former chairman of the President's Council on Bioethics. He's warning now that we're redefining what it means to be a human, what it means to be an animal, and he also went so far as to say we're right now defining what it will mean to become a superhuman and what it will mean to become a god. And in his book, Life, Liberty, and the Defense of Dignity, he warned that after having sat on the chair on the President's Council on Bioethics, he came out of that, wrote that book, and he warns that biotechnology now, combined with transhumanist aspirations, are ultimately going to enshrine eugenics, like we were talking about a little while ago. The whole idea that parents have this responsibility, this obligation to create the best kind of child possible. And he's saying that because the goal of transhumanism is the creation of a superior human, tinkering with what God made because we think we can make something better. Of course, that was the goal of Hitler, to use eugenics to create a superior man, the Übermensch. And for those who think that that's a stretch of the imagination, I can quote person after person, Dr. Joseph Flesher from Harvard University, who is a professor that's widely recognized as the patriarch of bioethics. He said this: chimeras, human-animal crossbreeds, or parahumans, might legitimately be fashioned to do dangerous or demeaning jobs. As it is now, low-grade work is shoved off on moronic and retarded individuals, the victims of uncontrolled reproduction. Should we not program such workers thoughtfully instead of accidentally by means of hybridization? Dr. Robert Sinsheimer, who is a molecular biologist at Chancellor of the University of California at Santa Cruz and who was one of the initiators of the Human Genome Project, he said this: the horizons of the new eugenics are in principle boundless. For the first time in all time, a living creature understands its origin and can undertake to design its future. Dr. Francis Crick, a Nobel Prize laureate, 1962, who co-discovered DNA. Crick, by the way, also favors a scheme for licensing parenthood or a tax on children to encourage, quote, those people who are more socially desirable to have more children. He said this: no newborn infant should be declared human until it has passed certain tests regarding its genetic endowment, and that if it fails those tests, it forfeits the right to live. Dr. James Watson, who's the president of the Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory in New York, who's also a Nobel Prize laureate and a co-discoverer of DNA, he actually advocates for manipulating the human genome, and he says this: if you are really stupid, I would call that a disease, so I'd like to get rid of that. People say that it would be terrible if we made all girls pretty. I think it would be great. Dr. P.B. Desai, who's a world-renowned oncologist in India, said this: science is moving at such a fast pace that scientists have proven that they can create headless mice through removal of genes in the embryo that control development of the head. But the body would have the capacity to keep the organs functional for use as transplants. Embryonic stem cells, which hold promise to cure of any organ, is now but a slow move towards immortality, end quote. Dr. Gregory Stock, the director of the Program on Medicine, Technology, and Sociology at UCL School of Public Health, and the author of Redesigning Humans, Our Inevitable Genetic Future, said this: if biological manipulation is indeed a slippery slope, then we're already sliding down that slope now, and we may as well enjoy the ride. Let me give you one more. Dr. Conrad Lorenz, who's also a Nobel Prize for Physiology and Medicine, in his article Taking Eugenics Seriously, said there is a close analogy between a human body invaded by a cancer and a nation afflicted with subpopulations whose inborn defects cause them to become social liabilities. Just as in cancer, the best treatment is to eradicate the parasitic growth as quickly as possible, the eugenic defense against the dysgenic social effects of afflicted subpopulations is of necessity limited to equally drastic measures. When these inferior elements are not effectively eliminated from a population, then, just as when the cells of a malignant tumor are allowed to proliferate throughout a human body, they destroy the host body as well as themselves, end quote. So, Dr. Monteith, you're a medical doctor. Does this seem to you like we have now a high-tech revisitation of what Hitler was trying to do with the Ubermans?
Absolutely. In fact, the whole idea of Hitler's was to breed a super race. And this is exactly the mentality that you're expressing here, because there really are people who are energized by exactly the same mindset as Adolf Hitler and the Nazi movement. The Nazi movement did not die. When Adolf Hitler died, many of the scientists were intensely brought here to the United States under Operation Paperclip to continue their grotesque and bizarre experiments. About 10,000 Nazis were helped by our CIA to escape to South America, where they lived comfortably, and only two of them were actually ever picked up. I've actually talked to three different people who tell me that they talked to, actually, Joseph Mengele here in the United States. You remember the Angel of Death? And there's a doctor who wrote a book called Operation Bluebird, the psychiatrist, book that we've actually carried. I think it's changed the name to the CIA Doctors, but I asked him about that, dealing with these victims of CIA mind control. He said that several of his people had heard of Mengele. Mengele was involved in all sorts of bizarre Nazi experiments. And I have every reason to believe that he was brought here to the United States, and both in Canada and the United States, he continued his same things, because these forces, these spiritual forces that energized Adolf Hitler's movement, are alive and well in our major universities today.
Well, and now, just this last week, the John Templeton Foundation is providing $500,000 to Arizona State University for a whole series of lectures to evaluate what they are now calling the next chapter in human evolution as a result of accelerating developments in the field of genomic stem cell research, genetic enhancement, germline engineering, neuropharmacology, artificial intelligence, pattern recognition and technologies, and nanotechnologies. That's actually a quote from their press release for the whole idea that we are now standing on the next moment in human evolution, and that is the redesign of Homo sapiens sapiens through genetic enhancement. If people think that it's not happening yet, they need to go back to April of this year, when Medical News Today put out a press release in which they announced, and I verified this, that Case Law School in Cleveland received $773,000 from the National Institutes of Health to, quote, develop guidelines for the use of human subjects in what will be the next frontier in medical technology, genetic enhancement of the human species, end quote. That's part of their press release. It's already happened. They've already received the money. The professor of law there at Case Law School is bioethicist Max Melhelm. He's leading a team of law professors and physicians and bioethicists in a two-year project using human subjects for the establishing of guidelines for altering the human species through genetic enhancement. Well, that's the reason why, Dr. Monteith, that Leon Cass would come out of the government's own study of where we're going and what all of this various kinds of science means, and he would write a book called Life, Liberty, and the Defense of Dignity, The Challenges of Bioethics, in which he says that human nature is on the operating table, ready for alteration. And by the way, he also uses terms like eugenics in that book when he talks about how we are now up to wholesale redesigning and enhancing the human species. And he warns that if anybody who cares about preserving our humanity, they better start paying attention to what's going on right now, because we're there, the government's there, and as you've already said, the military is there, and there is a vast amount of resources that are going into the recreation of the human species.
Well, of course, one thing we talk about is eugenics, and that would be take human beings and try to breed them to a better human being. But, of course, what you talk about on the Ehrman Gate is actually this idea of introducing other forms of genetic material from other species. That is the really frightening thing. I mean, not that all of it isn't frightening, but they would even consider some sort of an animal-human hybrid.
Well, they're doing that partly. I would invite people, go to nickbostrom.com, nickbostrom.com. He's one of the leaders in transhumanists. He's a teacher at Stanford. There's also teachers, by the way, at Trinity, also at Oxford. But he's actually a teacher at Oxford University, and he wrote in his thesis called Transhumanist Values this, and I quote, he says, the current human sensory modalities are not the only possible ones, and they are certainly not as highly developed as they could be. Some animals have sonar, magnetic orientation, or sensors for electricity and vibration. Many have a much keener sense of smell, sharper eyesight, etc. The range of possible sensory modalities is not limited to those that we find in the animal kingdom. There is no fundamental block to adding, say, a capacity to see infrared radiation or to receive radio signals, and perhaps to add some kind of telepathic sense by augmenting ourselves as well. End quote.
How do you spell Bostrom's name?
Bostrom.
B-O-S-T-R-O-M. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
He's a professor of philosophy at Oxford University. And I've been on Dr. James Hughes' shows, but between him and Dr. James Hughes, these are two of the talking heads out there that are the most well-known for transhumanists. They both have written their thesis. They've both written books on this subject. They give lectures all over the place. They both, and for that matter, Bostrom also served on the President's Council on Bioethics. So these guys are not fly by night. They're academics. They serve with fellows. They serve on boards at our leading universities. And Dr. Monti, think about this. I think of the name of it here in a second. The Birkbeck Law School in the United Kingdom is one of the leading law schools that prepares people who are being trained to be able to do crime scene analysis, CSI, and to work in law enforcement, where they go into a crime scene where they have to take just bits and pieces of DNA and other little pieces, and they have to try to put together a puzzle in which they come out of that puzzle saying the person who perpetrated this rape or this crime or this murder is a person that we believe that is between the ages of 28 and 32 years old. He's a male, he's white, blah, 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 blah. And they use certain protocols that are based on precedents going back as far as, you know, they've been developing these different protocols to determine what the crime scene analysis is all about. Did you know that the Birkbeck Law School now, and anybody who wants to go there and verify this, they have added a brand new branch to the study of crime scene analysis, and it's called interrogating the post-human subject. And they're doing this because they're saying that in years to come, they're going to have to do crime scene analysis where they're trying to track down something like a werewolf or something. They're trying to track down something that is part human and part something else, and it doesn't think like humans do, and therefore they're having to set a whole new set of protocols. What kind of madness is this?
Well, I think we live in a world gone mad. There's just a few of us who are still sane because we realize that man, of course, is not going to change the world. Only God is, and God is going to be intervening one of these days, I fear, very, very soon. We're out of time, Tom. Thank you so very much. We will be able to keep it just a couple of minutes more, so you hang on there.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. The book is The Ehrman Gate. The Ehrman Gate, and we'll be back in just a moment. Well, Tom, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, how do you wrap up what we just opened? I'll tell you what we really need to do is a whole series on this, because I did 6 hours with another interviewer, and we still never got to the end of this, and so maybe we consider doing something like that. Well, look, you know, Washington Post, they ran an article recently called Chimeras, A Step Closer to Reality, in which they were talking about experiments that were done with the blending of the various kinds of animals, and how that these animals, you could take the characteristics of one animal, and the case that they were using was even Balaban of the McGill University of Montreal, who had taken sections of brains from quail and had put them into chickens, and the resulting chickens actually exhibited the vocal trills and the head bobs that are unique to quail. And what that proved, that was transplanted parts of the brain could actually contain the neural circuitry for quail calls. But more importantly, Dr. Monteith, it proved that complex behaviors can be transferred across species. Now, what are we going to do when we start creating these animal-human hybrids and we allow them to grow to maturity, or we start creating transhuman species that are part animals, and we're actually transferring the behavior patterns into human subjects or human patterns into animal subjects, which is what James Hughes actually wants to do. He wants to uplift chimpanzees. And part of this is because they want to change the definition of what it means to be a human. You know, the sanctity, the equality of life ethic has always held that all humans have equal moral worth regardless of their ability or their capacity. That's always been the objective standard. But now, personhood theory, which is a transhumanist hot word, and it holds that rights only belong to so-called persons, which in their minds is a status that's earned by certain cognitive capacities. And Dr. Monteith, if personhood theories ever supplants the sanctity of life as the governing ethic of society, it's going to open the door not only to such things as harvesting organs from people like Terry Schiavo, but permitting biotechnologists to farm these cloned fetuses for use in drug testing experiments, but also genetic engineering, so that now we have the, you know, the dream come true, there is this post-human species now that's going to include animal byproducts. It's going to be something entirely different.
Oh, we're out of time, Tom, but thank you so much. We will get you on again real soon. Bye-bye, and God bless.
God bless you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me tell you that this is really a frightening thing, because we have people who really look at the world differently than you and I. They believe that mankind can create better human beings, that mankind can create a better society, having forgotten that between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference. And they have no respect for God. They have no respect for anything. Anything goes. They have no sense of right and wrong. They are educated far beyond their intelligence. And that is why they're so very dangerous. And, of course, the other thing is that many of them are energized by these dark spiritual forces that we speak of so frequently. Well, of course, if you'd like to get this book, The Ermine Gate, that Tom has written, Going into the Transgenic Engineering, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. I talked about Operation Paperclip. Most Americans have never heard of the fact that we brought thousands of Nazi scientists, and many of these people should have been executed for the terrible crimes they committed. They were allowed to come to the United States to engage in many types of science, but 10,000 Nazis were allowed to escape to South America with the help of RCI and MI5, because these spiritual forces that supported Adolf Hitler during the war supported the Nazis after the war. We got a 4-tape set on Operation Paperclip with interviews, of course, with the author of the book, The Secret Agenda, which has been carefully suppressed for such a long time. That's the 4-tape set on Operation Paperclip. We carry that DVD we talked about called Deceived certainly a Hollywood production with Lou Gossett Jr. We have Tom Horn's previous books called The Spiritual Warfare, The Gods Who Walk Among Us. That's Spiritual Warfare, The Gods Who Walk Among Us. And, of course, we hope that you'll want to get this material. Of course, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get the book or the DVD or VHS. Or you can get the book, either a DVD, VHS, or a tape, and that's the Brotherhood of Darkness special. You need to get this to understand the spiritual nature of the battle we're engaged in, because there is another spiritual dimension. People can watch television programs like The Medium. Oh, it's an exciting program. This nice, pretty, blonde housewife named Alison DuBois is helping the district attorney get the bad guys. The truth of the matter is, there really was an Alison DuBois, and she did work for the district attorney, and she was able to tap into the other dimension. And the military is doing exactly the same thing. And they're at the Stanford Research Institute, and research institutes all across America are tapping into this supernatural dimension. But, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to go there, because, of course, this is demonic dimension. We have another great book. It's called Alien Intervention. It goes into UFOs, and they're really, of course, demonic beings. But you're not supposed to believe in that. You're supposed to just go right along and lead the good life, until one day we wake up and find out that America as we know it is no longer, because it is the wealth of America and the military power of the United States are being used to bring about this whole new world order. And this whole new world order will have a demonic aspect to it, to a point where many people will, I believe, sincerely regret they were ever born. We're moving into a terrible, terrible time of suffering and horror. And on the other hand, it doesn't have to happen. I don't believe it has to happen at this time. If there were enough good people, if there was a revival in our country, if people turned back to the faith of their fathers and the biblical things that were taught in years past. But unfortunately, the Christian church, Catholic, Protestant, certainly the Jewish, they've all been infiltrated by these dark spiritual forces. Would you like to meet them? Let me suggest that you read a book we carry called Hostage of the Devil. It was written by a Catholic priest, a Franciscan, pardon me, a Jesuit priest named Father Malachi Martin. You can get the book and my interviews with Father Martin. That's the Malachi Martin special. And so much more. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. We hope many of you, of course, maybe think about getting a Berkey water filter or some of the other items we carry that do help us stay on the air or join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. But please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News. On the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Shaw. The man in line to be Defense Secretary has moved quickly to explain a surprising remark. Jerry Boatlander has the latest.
At the start of his afternoon session before the Senate Armed Services Committee, Robert Gates sought to clarify an answer he gave twice during the morning session that the U.S. isn't winning the war in Iraq.
That pertains to the situation in Iraq as a whole. Our military forces win the battles that they fight.
And while Gates said to a separate question that the U.S. is neither winning nor losing at this point, his answer forced White House spokesman Tony Snow to stress that Gates and the president are on the same page.
It's an early call tomorrow for President Bush as the Iraq study group arrives at the White House before sunrise to present its findings. One of the co-chairmen, former Secretary of State James Baker, lunched with Bush today.